As long as you don't give me feedback, as long as you're listening.
Okay.
All right, ready? Good afternoon. I want to thank you all for coming out. Before we start, I'll talk a little bit about.
Your mic on.
You're gonna need to put it closer to your face.
Okay, closer to my face.
Test, test, test.
There you go.
There you go.
There we go. Okay, good afternoon again. I'm Senator Michiki, if you don't know that. Just a little safety thing first. You see the little red exit signs, if there were a reason to leave the building. You would follow one of them. I'd say the shortest route is out here, but I can't think of anything happening today that's gonna result in a quick exit from the building. Mayor Navarre was gonna be here. He is stuck in Anchorage. My understanding, weather is related. I barely got in. His chief of staff is here. Paul, where are you?
There you are in the corner.
I want to thank Representative Seaton for being here as well, back there. Let's see, Linda Murphy is here, assembly member. And I hope there are. From the Solvang City Council. I remember reading about that. So anyway, here's how tonight's going to go. And, you know, my interest here is you've probably heard part of this from me, but a lot of issues in Juneau last session. And by far the issue where I received the most email, three times the amount of the next bill that I received a lot of email about was about House Bill 77. And there were a lot of concerns. Some are misunderstandings, some aren't. And I requested of the department to be here, present the bill, and have some open discussion, open dialogue about some of the concerns. And however you feel about the bill, it's pretty special to have them here willing to support us in this effort. So I want you to please give a hand to thank Deputy Commissioner Fogles and Commissioner Campbell for being here, please. And with that, this is going to be the format tonight. I put some rough times. I put 4 to 5 from a presentation from the Deputy Commissioner, and 5 to 6 for a little stakeholder panel that we thought were folks at a little bit higher level of understanding of not only the bill but the questions related to it. And 6 to 7 will be recorded public testimony where you have a 2-minute speech. I would encourage you, if you have questions, that you provide them to Doug. My staff here, Doug Lutch, can stand up and wave. Doug's a friendly guy. If you bring him your questions, he'll bring them to us, and we can discuss it during the panel discussion. And not sure how the time's going to work. I'm not sure if you have an hour or not. I'm not sure how long the panel discussion will last, but we'll move right into the public testimony once that discussion is complete. So with that, I don't think I forgot anything. I'm going to hand it off to Deputy Commissioner Fogles.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Commissioner Campbell, did you want to be just to lead off with the presentation? And then okay, great. As the Senator said, House Bill 77, we got a lot of feedback on 77 since it was introduced last session, far more than we had anticipated. I want to kind of lay the groundwork a little bit as to why we even did it. A lot of people are asking us, why did you even cause this stir? Kind of want to explain that. And I just want to, I think the purpose of this meeting and the other meetings that we've been going around to is really to listen to folks' concerns, find out where the pressure points are on this legislation. Because again, we produced it for a reason. We had problems that we saw needed to be solved in the way DNR does its permitting. And we proposed solutions to those problems. And on some of those solutions, we've definitely heard that people don't agree with the way we propose those solutions. So if there are other solutions out there, then we're listening. We're going to take those back. We're going to brief up. We're going to brief the governor. We're going to brief other legislators. So that's really what I think the purpose of these meetings are, is to have an open discussion, and I need people to understand the problems we're trying to solve, and I welcome feedback on that. So just to start, why are we actually doing this? And I have a presentation here I'm going to go through, kind of a brief one, but 2 years ago when I first started this job, the governor had asked me to look at ways that we can improve the state's permitting process. My background is 25 years in the Department of Natural Resources. Most of my career has been working with permitting issues somewhere in DNR. And I firmly believe that we need to always strive to improve the way we do business. Our state's economy depends on wise use of our natural resources. And we want to make sure business has a proper chance to flourish in this state. And in some areas, the permitting process bogs that down and doesn't allow business to flourish the way we think it should be able to flourish. And so we think it's in all best Alaskans' best interest to look for ways to improve. 2 years ago, we introduced a bill, House Bill 361, which in some ways was very similar. It proposed a lot of minor, small changes to DNR statutes. Those were very minor tweaks, none of which individually was a very earth-shattering change. That bill went through with hardly a sneeze, so it was very non-controversial. This time around, we did the same thing. We grew these changes from staff. These were changes that staff that worked these issues day in and day out and worked these statutes proposed in a big spreadsheet, and we took a look at the top bunch, and that's what we put forward in House Bill 77. This time, there were more changes. It was a more ambitious bill, and some of those changes were definitely a little farther-reaching and obviously more controversial. So, but that's sort of the genesis of it. Again, it was a homegrown, grown from staff that actually worked the statutes. This is all part of a broader initiative, and that's what this first slide sort of lays out. Some of you may have seen this, but we kind of started on a five-part path around the state to look at how to improve the permitting process. And the very first point up there, point one, is each agency is to look internally to clean up its own house and look for ways to oil its machinery. And that's what House Bill 77 is for DNR. Dave, go ahead and look to the next one. So again, within DNR, you may have heard a lot of discussion over the years about a backlog that we had in the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. We had about 2,500 permits that were backlogged. And these weren't giant mine permits or giant oil and gas developments. These were little guys, little small businesses that had permits in our system that were stuck because of a number of reasons. One, we didn't have a lot of resources to process them. And two, there were just a lot of inefficiencies in our system. We hired a new director for the division, Brent Goodrum, who's a retired Marine officer with a background in organizational efficiency. He's been looking at the systems within DNR, within the division, trying to make them work better. The legislature and the governor were generous enough to beef up our resources within the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. I'm happy to report, actually this slide is a little out of date. In the second bullet on the right, it says we're almost 50% done with the backlog. We're actually over 50% done with the backlog now, which is really good. We're creating an automated system within the division that will help transparency. It will show where permits are in the process. It will help the public understand what we do and how we do it. So a lot of really good stuff is happening. So House Bill 77 is part of a big initiative to just improve the way we do business for your benefit. So focusing specifically on House Bill 77, there are three main sections in that bill that really drew fire. And I'm going to explain those three one after the other. The first one was a provision that would specifically allow us in statute to do general permits. Now, DNR already does general permits, and we've done them for years, but there's nothing in the statute that specifically allows us to do them, so we thought it would be good to have that specific authority. Now, a general permit is a permit that we can issue for activities that are repetitive and low in impact. And I think the classic example is one we just issued for mooring buoys in the Kisilof River for commercial fishermen to go tie up their boats. In past, you had to go and apply for an individual permit for each buoy. We thought this was a perfect example of a type of activity there. If you come in and you talk to us, you tell us where your buoy is, you tell us the constraints, as long as it falls in within specific constraints, no individual permitting process. That general permit was public notice up front. So you do the public notice once up front, and then the activities that follow will fall under that general permit and don't need as much process. Okay? A lot of agencies do that for various things. The Army Corps of Engineers does that for wetlands permitting. We wanted to clarify the statutes that we had that authorization also. So people have read into our language that we have now proposing the authority to trump fish and game statutes, DEC statutes, and that the commissioner will just issue general permits for pebble mines without public notice. And that is totally false. That is not the intent of this change. And we were very clear in our testimony on the record that our intent is for these to be for general permits for small permit activities with repetitive sort of activities with low impact. And so that is, again, the intent of this particular change. There are a couple of examples on this slide. On the left, on things that we've already used general permits for, and things on the right that we could potentially use general permits for in the future. Again, public notice would happen up front. That would be an appealable decision within DNR. And then if it gets issued, then after that, for those small activities, then someone can just come in and pay their fee, and if it falls within the stipulations, they get an authorization to go. Okay, the second specific section that I'm going to talk about, and this one maybe caused most of the controversy, and actually it's kind of a little tricky to understand too. So this is the provision to change the water reservations statute within our water law. And before I go into what the change was, I need to briefly explain how DNR manages water. And I probably should have introduced, starting off, the kind gentleman here that's pushing the button on the PowerPoint is Mr. Dave Shady. He's the chief of DNR's water resources section. He's here actually to back me up on very technical water law questions, should any arise. But he runs the group that is in charge of managing Alaska's waters. Alaska's waters belong to the people of Alaska, and DNR is entrusted to manage the water quantity. DEC does the quality, DNR does the quantity. So if you want to use water, you need to get the authorization from DNR. And there are three basic ways in which we manage water, and those are listed on the left there. Go ahead and hit the button again, Dave. The first two, water rights and temporary water use authorizations, are to take water out and use it. So if you want a water authorization, if you want to use water in a well for your house, or for to build an ice road on the North Slope, or for water for a microbrewery, you're going to go to Dave and ask for either a water right or a temporary water use authorization. A water right is a big darn deal. It's permanent. If you have a well and you don't have a water right for it, you should get one. You should apply tomorrow and get one. That protects your interest in that water quantity, and it protects you. And they're not easy to get, but once you have it, it's permanent. It runs with the land, so it's a big darn deal. The temporary water use authorization is an authorization that's probably 90%+ of our workload for water. Almost all the work we do is for the temporary water use authorizations. These are authorizations, as they say, they're temporary. They're for smaller amounts of water. Therefore, they're permits. They can be revoked at will. If we see something that goes awry, we can yank them without any cause. Therefore, again, ice roads on the North Slope for construction activities where you need to pull water from a creek for some purpose or whatever, and they're usually for small amounts of water. And again, you go to Dave's shop to apply to do that. The third one up there, the water reservation, is what's at issue here. And a water reservation is an authorization to leave water in the water body, okay? So nothing in this legislation affects the ability of you to take water and use it, right? This is all about the third tool, which is a water reservation, to leave water in the water body. And you can apply for a reservation for one of four reasons: fish habitat, water quality, navigation, or recreation, okay? And so the issue at hand with the water reservation is that Alaska is one of the only states in the nation, not the only one, but one of the only states in the nation that currently allows persons to apply for a water reservation, okay? In most of the other states, you have to be a public agency. You have to be a state, local, or federal government agency to apply for a water reservation. And the reason is it's a water that stays in the water body for a public purpose. It's a public asset. Okay? So the change here is to take away the term person in the statute, so you have to be a public agency to apply for and hold that reservation. Now, the prime reason for that is because we do believe it's a public asset, and it should be applied for and held for by a public agency. Now, the problem that we were trying to solve, too, is we were seeing potential misuse of a water reservation. A water reservation is very difficult to obtain. It takes about 5 years of data collection to get a water reservation for fish habitat purposes. And so we were being challenged. Somebody's applied for a water reservation in a creek. We were being challenged that we shouldn't allow anybody else to use water in that creek for the 5 years that it takes to collect that data. That is the problem. That's what we're trying to solve here, and that's why we made this change. We do not think it's good public policy to restrict other Alaskans from using that water for 5 whole years while this data collection goes on. We think we know that there are other mechanisms to protect the fish, and as we'll point out, here in a little bit, the fish protection provisions within Fish and Game are not diminished or changed one bit by this statute. Go ahead and hit the next one. Okay, just some examples of where you might use a water right or a temporary water use authorization there. Again, just to emphasize, the change in House Bill 77 does not affect individual Alaskans or tribes or anyone else's ability to go in and use Alaskan water. That's not really changed in this provision. It's strictly for the reservation of keeping water in there. And again, one of the reasons we're looking at that is we're afraid that we see misuse coming down the road for that provision. We feel that a water reservation is a public asset, should be applied for, held for by a public entity. And again, this kind of goes over some of the fish and game authorities. They are not changed or diminished one bit. You apply for any water authorization from DNR, Commissioner Campbell's staff have to look at that and have to tell us whether there's enough water left in the water body for the fish. That does not change. Nothing in House Bill 77 changes that authority whatsoever. So the third thing that we are proposing to change in House Bill 77 that caught a lot of attention and a lot of controversy, and it's controversial, it raises the bar on who can appeal a DNR decision. When DNR makes a decision, the first step for a member of the public that doesn't like our decision is to do an administrative appeal. They file some paperwork and they appeal it to the commissioner of DNR, and the commissioner has to look at it, and it starts a whole big process for us, right? We get a lot of appeals every year. Almost every decision we make gets appealed one way or the other, right? So we're looking at these appeals, and quite frankly, a lot of them really don't have a lot of merit. People just don't like the decision. They may not even live in Alaska. We're trying to make it so that people have a good reason to appeal a decision. What this proposed change does is, right now, the language says you merely have to be aggrieved to file an administrative appeal of a DNR decision. That's very broad language. You can be aggrieved just because you just don't like it. We're proposing to change it to substantially and adversely affected. This makes it so that you have to write down why this decision will damage you, will harm you. That's the change here. You just have to show us how our decisions going to harm you. It raises the bar for an appeal. Now, I know a lot of people out there don't fundamentally agree that we should be raising that bar. And that's a discussion we can have here, but it's a way for us to reduce the administrative burden of appeals that they don't have merit, just to keep it so that you have to justify why that decision harms you in some way or another. And again, we're getting criticized that House Bill 77 somehow reduces public notice. Well, yeah, in a general permit, if we issue a general permit, we do the public notice up front, so there's less public notice down the road for those small activities. But again, those are little de minimis activities that we don't think need public notice after that first initial general permit is issued. So in that sense, yes, there are other provisions within House Bill 77 that have been misconstrued that we're reducing public notice, when in fact we're actually providing more avenues for public notice. We have a provision in there that allows the DNR to do a preliminary best interest finding and do public notice on that. That's extra. That's not in the statute right now. That's being put in there. And again, that's a clarification because we do preliminary best interest findings already. It's just that the statute never gave us authority to do it. So as a housekeeping item, we want to make it real clear that we have the authority to do preliminary best interest findings and do public notice. But provision does not reduce public notice at all. In fact, you could read it as directing us to do more public notice. So I guess in sum, this slide just sort of like just sums up the key takeaway messages. You know, general permits are an efficiency tool. It enables us to do our business faster, enables businesses to get their permits, and individual Alaskans get some permits quicker. Nothing takes away your right to use water or your ability to use Alaskan water. Nothing takes away Fish and Game's authorities to make sure there's enough water left in water bodies for fish. Doesn't take away Alaskans' rights to meaningful public participation. But it does raise the bar on appeals. So those are kind of the sum takeaway points on House Bill 77. And that, again, is my presentation. And again, I think hopefully I've sort of explained problems we're trying to solve. We're trying to improve the process for all Alaskans. If you think there are better ways for us to do that, let us hear it. There's still a lot of work to be done on this bill. So I guess with that, I might ask Commissioner Campbell if she wants to add a few words on her department's role in this.
Before we do that, I forgot about yesterday. Ambassador Temple is our legislative liaison for PNR. So
we can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Ambassador Temple is our legislative liaison for DNR, so she spends a lot of time sort of at a go between here and the session while we're down in Juneau. And I did want to point out that Mr. Ostrander had a lot of praise for Mr. Chase. I think you pronounced it correctly.
Shady.
Shady. During the Cay Beach high water and flooding issues that we had recently, Mr. Shady and his partner down here offered a lot of assistance to our United States folks. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Senator. This might be a good time also to point out that Ben Mulligan, who's the legislative liaison for the Department of Fish and Game, is in the audience.
You're not coming through clearly. Where would you?
Okay. Is that better? Is that a little louder? What is my turn?
Okay.
So what I was trying to say is that Ben Mulligan, who's the legislative liaison for the Department of Fish and Game, is also with us today. He's in the audience along with Randy Bates, who's the division director for the Habitat Division. So those are the Fish and Game staff that are with us today. And Dave, maybe if you could just go back to the slide that talks a little bit about, there you go. So I just want to go back for just a minute and talk a little bit more about what Ed was talking about, which is the fact that nothing in House Bill 77 affects the authorities of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And the reason that I want to emphasize this is because we heard a lot of confusion and a lot of concern when this bill was being discussed last session. people really seemed to be concerned that there was something in the bill that might affect the protections for fish habitat. So I just want to be clear, as you heard from Deputy Commissioner Vogel, this bill affects DNR statutes relating to water, and it affects them in a very specific way. It affects who has the ability to apply for a water reservation. It doesn't do anything to affect Fish and Game Title 16 authorities and responsibilities. And I think many people know this, but just very quickly, Fish and Game is guided by Title 16 to protect fish resources. So we have permitting authorities that are separate from DNR's permitting authorities. And under those authorities, we require a fish habitat permit for any water removal from fish-bearing waters. And that's intended to ensure proper fish passage and proper protection of an aggregate fish habitat. So if somebody is proposing to use water from a resident fish stream or an inanimate water body, that proposed activity would require an ADF&G Title 16 fish habitat permit in addition to the water right or temporary water use permit from DNR. So there is that protection that is specifically for fish and their habitat that resides within Fish and Game, and that is not affected in any way by the passage of HB 77. That protection remains in place. In addition to our own separate permitting process, we play a key role in DNR's permitting process. So anytime DNR is evaluating a removal of water, they are required under their statutes to consult with Fish and Game and to use our expertise about the effects on fish and fish habitat. So we're an active participant in DNR's permitting process, and that is not affected in any way by the passage of House Bill 77. So there are layers of protection that will remain in place that HB 77 does nothing to affect. So that's what I just want to make sure that people are clear that the very specific change in House Bill 77 does nothing to affect the mechanisms that are in place in law to ensure protection of fish and fish habitat when somebody is proposing to remove water from a fish-bearing stream. And so what this means is that an official reservation of water or in-stream flow reservation to require that a certain amount of water be left in a stream is not the only way to protect the fish that live in that stream. That protection can be implemented on a case-by-case basis as a project that proposes to remove water goes through the permitting process of Fish and Game and DNR. And I think another question that came up as we've discussed this bill with people is, well, what process would be available to some of the people and organizations and groups out there that might have an interest in assisting with securing a water reservation if they're no longer allowed to be the applicant? How might they participate in this process? And so that's something that I wanted to talk about. Fish and Game has always been very receptive to partnering with people who are interested in securing water reservations to protect fish habitat. And the way that normally works, generally it means that the interested party focuses on stream gauging that's required or data gathering. And we assist more with reviewing the data and preparing the application. And so jointly, we are involved in securing a in-stream flow reservation. We would envision this very same process going forward after the passage of HB 77. We would still be committed to working with interested groups and ensuring that those that share our interest in in-stream flow reservations still have every opportunity to partner with us in obtaining these reservations. So that avenue would still be available to anybody who is interested in continuing to work on these types of projects. And the other thing that I just wanted to share is that there are about 35 applications currently pending at DNR that have been filed by people who would no longer be eligible applicants if the bill passed because they They are a person under the law. They are not a government organization. And Michigan has reviewed those, and we've stepped forward, and we've said, if that person wants that water reservation application to continue, we'll step forward, and we're willing to serve as the applicant of record for that application. So we can ensure that the work that went into that, the data that was gathered, all of that continues to be used for the purpose that it was obtained for, that it continues to move through the process, and that none of those fall by the wayside. So any concern that might have been expressed about that work going to waste is, you know, that's been addressed, because all of those folks are going to have a willing partner in pursuing their reservations. So those are the main topics that I wanted to cover. I just wanted to make sure that people were aware of the layers of protection that are in law to ensure protection of fish and fish habitat, and that Fish and Game is and remains a willing partner to people who are interested in participating in the water reservations process. So thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. One of the things that Deputy Commissioner Provost pointed out is that you may not know where House Bill 77 is right now. Just for your information, it passed the House of Representatives on the 4th of March, 23 yeas, 14 nays, 3 excused. There's only one representative in the room, and that's Mr. Seaton. Representative Seat voted no in March. Where it lies now at 414, it went to third reading in the Senate, was returned to the Rules Committee. So it exists in rules today.
We have the time here, 441. Mr. Provost, do you have anything else you want to cover before we go into some discussion, panel discussion items?
No, I'm fine. I'd like to open it up and hear what folks have to say and answer any questions that they might have.
Okay, first we're going to go to our panel folks, and I believe Robert Ruffman from the Kenai Watershed Forum is here, and Roland Maul was going to be here with United Cook Inlet Drifters Association. I believe he's stuck in Anchorage, so I've invited Lindsay Bloom. And I'm not sure which hat she's wearing, but Lindsay, you can join us here and maybe introduce yourself and tell us which hat you're wearing today.
And Julianne's on her way. So, yeah, good evening, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
I have to
pick it up.
Inch.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Lindsay Bloom, I traveled here tonight from Juneau. My background is in commercial fishing. I'm on the board of the Coastal Bay Drift Out Association called the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, and I am also the chair of the Environmental Committee for United Fishermen of Alaska. That said, I found out about 10 minutes ago that I was going to be called up tonight, so I am not speaking on behalf of anyone but myself as a concerned Alaskan fishermen. Yeah.
I very much appreciate you agreeing to do that. We had a couple of others that were supposed to be here. Rick Halford was going to be here and had a sort of family issue and couldn't make it. And then, of course, Roland Ma was trapped in Anchorage. So, Mr. Ruffner.
Thank you, Senator. Is my mic on? No,
it's green. Green light.
Oh, green is good. Got it. Okay. My name is Robert Ruffner. I'm the executive director of the Kenai Watershed Forum, and I've been a resident here on the Kenai Peninsula doing work on and around streams for almost 20 years. And my primary interest in this is that I am somebody that, you know, on our local creeks have been out there collecting water data, you know, for this purpose to be used in what we're talking about here tonight. So I do feel, you know, pretty strongly about some of the stuff that's written down in here, and I don't really want to belabor a whole lot of the points too long, because I'd like to be the room is crowded, there's like 70 some odd people in here, and I'd like to get to hear what you folks have to say, but I think we will spend a few minutes just going over some of the points that we're concerned about. I very much appreciate the fact that the senator was able to pull together a meeting to get us to talk about this. I think it's very helpful to have Mr. Cole, Commissioner Campbell here to be here at this meeting. I think that's a really important step, and you know, I hope that as we move forward, we can work on this, and maybe we get a commitment from the state to work on this further before it goes on. I know it's very close in the political process, so I don't really know what the prospects of that are, but I think a you know, strong message that we're concerned about is warranted. Thank you.
Hey, what I'd like to do, and I, you know, I think it's pretty clear what I'm about. I'm definitely a pro-development Alaskan, but I'm also, it's very important to remember the reasons why we live here, the reasons why I live here and I'm raising my family here, and I think we're all on the same page. There are no good people and bad people in this discussion, and I know this panel will be very civilized. I ask the same. We have a little bit of a rumor in this community that it's not a friendly place to come if you're with an organization, say, like Board of Fish, but we know that's not the case. So let's just sort of prove that tonight, and you can get your point across politely, it might be much more effectively than any other way. So let's just focus on that, and I'll open it up to questions from panel members.
Want me to go?
Sure.
I mean, I've jotted down some notes here, and the way that I did that was just based on what Ed talked about, is sort of the pressure points, what the state is hearing the most about on this bill. So I have the general permits, the water reservations, and standing, right? Can I comment and question?
Keep your face pointed to the mic, please.
Yeah, you know, the reality of it is you agreeing to get up here kind of gives you a license to do anything you want.
I appreciate the presentation tonight. In Section 1 that deals with the general permit, I think the biggest concern for me is that I hear you, and in terms of this administration, I understand what the intent is. Behind changing the language and adding that additional sort of authority for the commissioners to do the general permits is, for me, the concern is that the intent is not written in the bill. And so, you know, the assurances based on what we've said today in 2013, this is what we intend for the bill to do. But whether or not future administrations are going to carry that forward and what kind of guarantees we have for that is my biggest concern. The language that says notwithstanding any other provision of law comes to, you know, gets to what Cora was talking about. I interpret that as that does trump Title 16. I guess I appreciate if you guys, Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner, could maybe clarify us for us what notwithstanding any other provision means and why it needs to be in there, why it needs that.
Thank you, Lindsay. Yeah, that phrase in there, notwithstanding any other provision of law, is probably one of the key phrases that's drawn the most questioning and the most controversy of probably any phrase in the entire House Bill 77. We definitely understand that. You know, we wrote that provision clearly intending it for it to apply to DNR statutes. We worked with our Department of Law to write that provision. That's the way it turned out. At this point, you know, all I can do is just to, you know, reinforce our intent on the record, in testimony. That's what it's meant to do. How the bill progresses, we've heard from a lot of people that we should change that provision of the bill to address that very point. And my guess is that there will be changes suggested as the session goes forward. Again, the bill is not in our hands at this point, but that is probably one of the top changes that people are asking for in this bill.
If I can
And it's one of the notes I jotted early on as well, and it's an excellent question. So how can we define and limit general permits that have sort of the carte blanche of the commission to small projects? Do you have any ideas on a better way to, you know, so I want this to be a frank meeting. What's the number one thing I hear? That House Bill 77 is a Chiwetna Pebble Mines bill. So how do we know that, how do we ensure to Alaskans for the passing the red face test that a general permit is not going to be used for something extremely controversial?
Well, I'll take a shot at that. Now, I'm not going to start writing proposed new legislation here, but I mean, again, you know, the issues that we've heard from the people are, again, the notwithstanding language. I mean, you have to look at what it was intended for. It was intended for our operation under Title 38 primarily. So, you know, I want to take a look at how that notwithstanding language is written and then figure out which statutes are the ones that DNR should be held to general permits for. And that's step one, right? You know, there's nothing in the statute right now that says we'll do public notice up front. Maybe that could be clarified. But keep in mind that we did put some things in that bill that actually give us sideboards. Actually, Dave, if you want to flip back a bunch of slides here, I'm just going to put this one slide up. Keep going. One more, right there.
There?
Right there, yeah. So on the right-hand side of this, there were a set of bullets cannot be used for. So we did try and put in some sideboards that said significant and irreparable. We've had a lot of people ask us, well, who gets to determine that? What does that actually mean, right? So that's we know that that's a pressure point. Could that be clarified? Maybe so. You know, we have excluded activities within legislatively designated state forests, parks, and game refuges, and coal mining is off limits for general permits, too. So those things are specifically excluded in that language. So, I don't know. There's just kind of my thoughts on that.
Sure. Well, I'll take a shot at another question, if I could. I'll try to address the concerns that people have over standing. So standing is, you know, who can actually apply for permits and the 35 some odd permits that holders, potential permit holders that are out there, you know, those are going to be transferred to DNR. The standing question is, you know, who is allowed to file for these in-stream flow reservations, and there are a handful of states that do allow individuals to do that. And I'm, you know, I think Alaskans are going to be reluctant to give up rights that they have. So if we have a right, you know, to have that taken away in the legislation, it's going to, no doubt, going to be controversial. So I'm uncomfortable with that as it is right now. Probably particularly around the tribal rights, you know, that those folks should have the right to be able to apply for their water rights. The second part of the standing that I'm uncomfortable with is that people have collected data with their understanding that they would have these rights, whether they're held by the government or held by the individual. It really doesn't matter that much to me, but those rights should be in place. When these are transferred, as the intent that I heard now, if they're transferred from an individual to the state, part of that standing is the order in which those applications were generated and received. So one of the things that I'd be a little concerned about, would like to hear back from, is the date associated with those applications. Are those going to change in the transfer, or do they stay in line?
Yeah, Robert. That's also been a real big topic of discussion last session and in the interim. And the way the bill is written right now, if an agency takes over one of those applications, then that date changes to the date that it gets switched over to the agency. So you lose that date. But I think it's important to discuss that that date is, I mean, it's not the end all and the be all. I mean, it's limited. The bottom line is that the department has to adjudicate the competing rights, the uses, no matter what. So no matter what the dates really are, we still have to look at what all the other uses might be, and have, well, we have to figure out how to allocate that water between the shot pad and the other uses. The dates work a little better.
Maybe turn this one off here.
Yeah, that helps.
That might work a little bit better. We would still have to adjudicate those competing water rights, no matter what the dates on the applications really are. So, but you're right. At this point, the way House Bill 77 is written, the date would be the date that the application is transferred to a public agency. And just to also talk about one of your other questions and concerns that we've heard an awful lot about, and that is the issue of, well, if you're going to restrict the application and issuance of water rights to agencies, why aren't tribes included in that? Well, the reasoning and the position at this point is that we looked at constitutionally outlined governmental entities. Tribes, while they may very well be one of the only governmental entities in rural Alaska and represent most of the people within their geographic area. In other parts of the state, they don't represent everybody within their geographic area. They may only represent a minority of the population within that geographic area. So we felt it was very important that because it was to be a public agency or an entity, that it represent all Alaskans within that geographic area.
Okay, so just a suggestion. I'm wondering how seriously perhaps the state has or hasn't considered this, but what I've seen as the best sort of solution in other states in terms of how to ensure water reserves and streams for multiple uses, I mean, we're not talking about just reserving water for fish habitat. Well, that's critical. Transportation, water quality, you know, other uses of water in streams exist beyond fish habitat. There are other places where there's an automatic reservation system, which means a blanket rule that in an anonymous stream, a certain amount of water stays in the stream, and that in order to withdraw water, the burden of proof is on whoever, whatever industry or whatever user seeks to withdraw the water to prove that they're not going to take out so much that they detrimentally impact fish. To me, if we're talking about streamlining, that's the ultimate way to go. Burden is off of Alaskans, well, off of the public in general, to collect data and on to whoever the use of the water will be. So I'm just curious how much the state has put into that cost-benefit analysis, and if not, why that hasn't been considered for the bill.
Yeah, I will take a stab at that. I mean, there are a couple of issues there. As I mentioned earlier, water reservations, to find out how much water you need to have as part of a water reservation takes 5 years of very expensive data collection. So if a small business wants to come in and use water from a creek, then that would mean that we would have to wait 5 years and collect all that data before we would establish that reservation. You can't just point to a river or a water body and go, okay, that's the reservation, that's the reservation, that's the reservation, right? It's a lot of work and a lot of money and a lot of time do a reservation properly. So, but on the other hand, much of what you said already happens right now, because the Department of Fish and Game has to determine, no matter what the water use is right now, any water body in Alaska, they still have to go in there and make sure there's plenty of water left for the fish before we can issue the water right or the temporary water use authorization. So that mechanism has not changed, and so in many ways, I think what you described really actually happens right now. But we've heard a lot about automatic reservations. Why don't you just do automatic reservations? Well, again, to do a reservation is a very long and expensive and time-consuming process. And so it's only being done where it's needed, right? And so you look at water bodies that have potentially competing uses coming down the road, And that's where you're going to focus your attention on the money and the time to collect that data. There are a lot of water reservations that have been applied for all around the state that don't have competing uses right now that we can see in the foreseeable future. So those are lower on our priority list to adjudicate.
If I could follow up on that, another concern or comment that I might make is that it is expensive to collect this data. You know, I've been doing it for a while. Mr. Shady over there, if he's a hydrologist, he understands what it takes to put these things together. And it's, you know, for a long time, we had heard that, you know, the only people that can really do this and do this correctly are the federal government. USGS is the only one that can do this. And as time has gone on with my career, I've seen that change a little bit to where folks are getting the technical expertise and they know how to do this work. And, you know, yes, it's $10,000, $20,000 a year if you're on the road system to collect this kind of data and get it set up. But that data is really important for not just fish. People will take that information and use it for emergency management purposes, for road design, flood issues, et cetera. So having that bank of data is really important. And every national conference I go to where we stand up as Alaskans and try to make our case is that we can't do a very good job in Alaska because we don't have the same data that you have in the lower 48. So we need more resources to collect more data. The process of working towards getting these water reservations has, at least in my personal experience, has been a very good partnership with Fish and Game and DNR to go out and collect the data that otherwise the state would have to be doing on their own. So we have these partnerships in place that are benefiting, you know, several hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, within a stone's throw of this building, and we've been working on collecting that data. And taking us out of the process, I mean, I know we heard that, oh, no, it's not going to change. And if we want a frank discussion, I'll tell you I don't believe that. Or you wouldn't be going down this path. So what if we can figure out some way to make us all more comfortable with that, to allow these, you know, private-public partnerships to benefit the ability to collect this data that can be used, you know, not only for fish but for all these other purposes, I think that would be a real big benefit to the state. And what I see in this right now is really quelling that desire to continue to collect that data in a partnership.
Well, I find more bacon, and I'm not sure that everybody discussed some of the reasons that we've been going down this path, but I take that as good input.
Just reading a question from the floor. It's related. You say water reservations being used improperly and groups trying to stop use in stream for 5 years. Didn't a state court actually rule DNR merely had to consider an in-stream flow application when issuing a water use permit to another user?
Yeah, that is in fact correct. We have one of the whole reasons that we started looking at this change in House Bill 77 was because of a couple of lawsuits on the Chewinna project. Since the session, there have been a couple of rulings from courts that have actually done a lot to clarify that. So I would say the answer to that question is yes. That's all happened since the last session.
Robert Lindsay, do you have additional questions?
No, I mean, I could go all night, but I don't think I want to do it. And maybe we'll be able to do it. So.
Okay, well, I certainly want to continue to stay up here if you like. We can go through public testimony that gives us some extra time. I have about, I don't know, Doug.
I'll check the list in the back.
Yeah, there's a list back there if you want to testify. And I'll go in order that you're on the list here. Great. If Doug will pick that up and continue signing up if you'd like to testify. Remember, we have 2 minutes. I don't know if we're going to use the timer, so I think I'll go the old-fashioned way. I heard Mr. Bastucci in the back, and I also saw him walking in with what looked like a ukulele that I'm praying is not for this meeting. So, Doug, are the microphones to our right, your left, live for public testimony?
If I can catch Johnny before she gets up.
Okay.
Yeah, they should work.
Just be a thing.
Yeah, we'll be on that.
Testing.
And are those also being recorded on the...
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with Ms. Jane Hay.
Yeah, where do you want me to sit?
If you can go ahead and
state right
your name and affiliation, we have
there
you signed in here. So.
I'd just like to say before I start that I'm not actually on the top of the second page, but I'm going for it anyway.
Okay, you've got 2 minutes.
Okay, my name is Jane Haig, and I would just like to say that I live here in, I guess, somewhere between Kenai and Soldotna. And according to the terms of this bill, I would have no standing. You know, I'm not a member of a particular organization. I don't represent anybody. I just live on the inlet, and I care about it, and I care about my neighbors who are fishermen. And I'm also not anti-development. I'm a historian. I've done a lot of mining history. A lot of that's been in the interior where there aren't major water issues. We're not looking at mines that mine through salmon streams. And that makes it a lot easier. I'm not opposed to efficiency. I'm not opposed to coordination. But I think that I'm really have a problem with the, especially I'll just speak to one issue, and that is the issue about standing to either present a water reservation or to appeal, and especially the idea that I would have to be substantially adversely affected. And that you just flashed that really quickly, but it looked like that could be narrowly construed as physical or financially affected. It wouldn't necessarily cover something like being spiritual, connection to the land, or cultural issues. I know we've been talking a lot about the cultural issues that a lot of the fishermen, the set net fishermen, have in terms of the kind of lifestyle that we have here on the Kenai Peninsula. And I have to say that echoing what Robert Ruffner said, there's a kind of a lack of credibility in terms of why the administration would be pushing so hard on this bill if it really, so-called, doesn't really affect anything. In particular, I think that the administration has made a couple of decisions that the Chewitna coal mine is somehow going to be compatible with fish habitat, and that when it clearly goes right through an Andromeda stream, and that they've somehow agreed that they can recreate this stream. So, I mean, I think that that just destroys the credibility, and therefore
and
I would say,
yeah,
I would just like to say I don't think there could be too many safeguards or too much opportunity for the public to participate in this process. Thank you.
Okay, next is Mr. Larned.
Yeah, I'm Bill Larned, a retired wildlife biologist and a 30-year resident of Soldotna. There is a fear that HB 77, as written, could set a precedent that would greatly reduce effective public input into state land and water development decisions, giving excessive power to the DNR commissioner to unilaterally permit activities such as hydroelectric extractive resource development. Without effective review, such projects could permanently degrade the underpinnings of the state's unique renewable resources thence reduce our economic and cultural wealth, the subsistence and recreational resources that help provide our people with a healthy lifestyle. It's the legitimate function of government to review and regulate use of public lands and waters for the long-term benefit of the people. The key words here are long-term, how we want to leave the landscape for future generations. This vision should be carefully considered with broad representation and reviewed frequently. For each resource use application, there's an obligation to provide opportunity for input by objective peer-reviewed science as well as all interested stakeholders pursuant to a decision in the long-term public interest. Circumventing this process is unthinkable with abundant global examples in the interest of getting under my 2 minutes. I'm going to skip some of these examples. Basically, I've had some experiences in Eastern Russia with major impacts with unsupervised operations, let's call it there. Anyway, these examples and those in China, extreme degradation of land, water, and air quality we've seen in China through the news media is another example of the results of such policies. These examples provide a glimpse of ultimate results of streamlining a permitting process by excluding or even by not facilitating scientific and public review.
Barnett?
Yes.
I did, in the notice of the meeting, I encouraged folks to also hand in written testimony.
Yeah.
That we will accept as well.
I have it.
But I knew there would be a whole bunch of people that wanted to testify. So.
Am I up?
You're up.
I'm up. Okay.
Thank you.
Didn't get to the punchline.
I'll get that to the center.
Or you can email us, Bill, whatever you prefer. We'll pass it on.
Yeah.
Jim Mullen. Mr. Mullen, are you here? Did they leave? Okay. David Athens. Two minutes is not a lot of time. Just for a little advice, I think you have to sort of stick to the high points, what you really want us to hear tonight. Just, it's up to you and all, but again, and then we'll receive written testimony as well.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Peter. And I don't have a lot to say. I think most of the points have been brought out, whether it was in the panel.
Speak to it.
I don't have a lot to say. I don't have a long prepared testimony. I think the points by the panel have been brought out. I appreciate the state folks coming and doing the presentation. But most importantly, Senator, I appreciate that you stood up, from my perspective, for the rights of Alaska. And I think this bill needs some changes. I think it needs to be looked at pretty closely. So I'm concerned about losing resources. I'm concerned about losing my rights as an Alaskan citizen compared to corporate rights. And I think that's where we're going in this country. So I would just encourage you to stand strong, listen to constituents. There's a lot of folks here that have grave concerns. And so I appreciate you putting this together, and I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to give your remaining 52 seconds to anyone?
Sure.
Hold up your hand in the back.
And panel folks, you might just take some notes. If there are things that we hear tonight that you want to address at the end, that would be helpful as well. Mr. Mueller, United Pence Libero.
I'll pass my hand to somebody else.
Okay. And actually, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. You had an N next to you. Brenda Trefont.
My name is Brenda Trefont. I'm the environmental director for the Kenaitse Indian Tribe. And I first would like to say, I definitely don't have enough time to address the fact that the tribal governments were not included as an agency allowed to apply for these permits. Alaska people have been governing resources for thousands of years in Alaska long before anybody ever talked about statehood. The Kenaitse Indian tribe is the federally recognized tribe with about over 4,000 members and strongly opposes this House Bill 77. There are currently 16 other tribes that have gone through the process and invested millions of dollars to apply for these water reservations. And under this bill, their permits would be revoked and would not be allowed. So I strongly oppose this. That's it.
Thank you, Brenda. Next is Mr. Wortley. Please repeat your name and any affiliation you may want to know about if you're familiar.
Good evening. My name is David Wortenby. I'm a professor of biology and have been for 30-some years. My bachelor's and master's is involved in stream ecology. I'm also an attorney admitted to the bar in Pennsylvania and Alaska. And I think the bottom line here is that we have a number of issues. What's that?
There.
I'm not sure if you can hear any better. All right. We have a number of issues here that are of great concern. For example, we're not really dealing with a situation of trust here. What happens is this, that DNR says to us, well, we think that water reservations are being abused. Well, or they're going to be abused. You know what? Show me that abuse. I don't believe it, okay? I don't believe it's been abused, and I don't think it's going to happen. The other thing I wonder about is this. Well, we need this streamlining. But you know what? I have a problem with that when you tell me at the very beginning of the meeting that you have resolved more than 70% of the backlog of permits that you're waiting on. It seems to me that internal efficiencies have solved the problems that this entire bill is all about to try and fix. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it, okay? I also want to say that as an attorney, I can read that statement that says, notwithstanding other provisions of law. And when I read that, that says, you know, anything else is trumped. I'm sorry, folks. If you want to say that, say it. If you want it to say something different, then you better change that wording. And also, when you start looking at other areas, if you're saying this is our intent, you better make sure that it says this is what we're going to do, because no one is going to be here. None of the commissioners, none of the deputy commissioners are going to be here. They're not going to be here forever. And so sometime down the road, we're going to have to say, what did we really want to do with this law? It's got to be written out. That's the way the law works. If it doesn't say it in the law, then it's not going to be followed down the road. So we've got to take care of that. Quite frankly, I think losing legal standing, I think losing legal redress is terrible. You know, the way agency law should work is that you have an agency is given the authority to make up rules and make up laws and so on, and then they come up with a notice of rulemaking. They get public input. And then, of course, if the entities don't like it, they can have a court redress. This is taking away that. I think that's a very, very bad precedent and one that shouldn't be there. There's so many other things, and I've run out of time. I apologize that I can't cover all the things that bother me about this bill, but there are a whole bunch of them. And I think, quite frankly, it needs an awful lot of work. Thank you.
I like to think of this sort of like a committee meeting. We know why you're all here. Could you try to refrain from the applauses? If we get into the applause and the boo scenario thing, and we're all adults here. So if you could kindly consider that. I think the feelings of the majority of the crowd are quite clear. Mr. Pascucci.
Sorry.
My prayers are answered.
Thanks for that applause announcement. I don't know if this needs to be on the record recording. Can you all hear me okay? I'll be loud. So first of all, I want to thank you, Peter, for having this meeting and for being willing to hear what people have to say. I think that it's great that people came. I think it's great that you showed up for us to be here. And my name is Dan Pascucci. I have been called the Kanye West of my time. And so I was hoping to go a little bit later to try to sum everything up. But here we go. A song dedicated to everybody.
Mr. Pascucci, would you like to go later? Because you can certainly...
Oh, no, I want to get it out of the way. There's Monday Night Football. So I decided to take everybody's view on this so we can all just hear everyone's side. Hello, everybody. My name's Parnell. Don't like my bills and go to heck. I figured there might be kids around. I'll do just what I want or what corporations do. I don't care too much for you. Now it's the Bill's turn. Hi, I am the Bill. Do you think you can manage the way I'll cause significant irreparable damage to the process we now follow to keep our check on applications so they don't cause havoc? That one was a stretch. I apologize. I'm a corporation in Alaska. Making money is my task. Please give me a permit without question. Pass the House bill, please, this session. Hello, everybody. I'm DNR. Let me tell you who we are. We used to be about resource conservation. Now, DNR, do not regulate corporations. Sorry, that's a stretch. I am just a person singing here. I'm not a developer with cash, I fear. But as I look around here, I can see there are lots of folks like me. Maybe we can't grease the wheels, I'll note, but we can stop the machine with votes. I know you have the power, now it's true. I just don't think this bill is the thing to do. Thank you all. Don't clap. No clapping.
There's just a different thing to when Dan sings. Next is, I'll just thank folks that signed in for being here. Mr. Coward did not choose to testify. Ed Schmidt.
That's an awfully hard act to follow.
Well, sadly, I'm going to be heading back down south in a couple of days. I grew up in Colorado, and I've only been here for about 10 years. And while celebrating Christmas with my family, everybody will ask me, why in the world did you retire to Alaska? You could have lived anywhere in the world. And the unfair advantage principle takes precedent. What does Alaska have that no place else in the world has? It's our open space. It's our fish and wildlife. It's our recreational activities. That's what we're all about. And in Soldotna, I feel like the private user is being pushed and pushed farther from these activities. This bill as written would give people that have more money and more ability to lobby than I do, more ability to continue to take to the detriment of the private citizens around here. As written, it would make it easier for the exploiters to exploit and harder for the silent but frustrated majority to appeal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Thank you, Ms. Moore, for being here. Mr. Lanahan, I can't tell if it's a yes or a no. That's a yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Andrew Hanrahan. I've been a Peninsula resident here for 43 years. And I must confess, this is an amazing piece of legislation. And I only just read it this morning. And I find it profoundly and deeply troubling, deeply troubled by this. I'm a commercial fisherman. I started fishing at age 11 with my father. And I still do. I couldn't help but read over and over in this bill the language, the best interests of the state. And I think there needs to be a distinction made here between the people of the state and the legal construct of the state of Alaska. There are two very important legal differences. I mean, they're not the same. They're not one and the same. And I think that I'm most profoundly disturbed by the shifting of power to the commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. I think it's unfounded, and I think that it violates the principles upon which our country and this state was founded. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Hanrahan. And next is, thank you, Ms. Rebecca, for being here. Walt Ward, says that you provided written testimony. We have that?
Yep.
Okay. And Megan Smith doesn't say yes or no. Are you still here, Megan? Okay, well, if folks come back, we will, and we see them in the crowd, we'll try to get them back up. Bob McCard, please.
My name is Bob McCard, and I live in Kasiloff. After reading House Bill 77 and other material regarding House Bill 77, I believe this bill is a severe infringement on our democracy, the democratic process, and the due process of law for the people of Alaska. Members of the armed forces are serving in Afghanistan today, and thousands of men and women have served our country in past wars and given their lives fighting for our freedom and democratic way of life. House Bill 77 is a contradiction to their sacrifice. It deprives individual citizens of the right to question the actions of the government by limiting public meetings and public input and by placing decision-making into the hands of one person, the Commissioner of Natural Resources. Yes, there should be resource development, but not without the input and safeguards that the people of Alaska can bring to the table for, for discussion. Many times, individuals at the local level are more attuned to their environments and the needs of their surroundings than administrators sitting in Anchorage or Juneau. I strongly encourage all legislators and administrators to look very seriously at House Bill 77 and to make modifications whereby the people of Alaska have more voice in the decision-making process. Safeguards are put in place to protect the environment and the fisheries. The power of decision-making is not in the hands of just one person, and that laws that are on the books now should stay on the books and not be overridden by House Bill 77. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McCartney. And I do encourage everyone to pull right on up to that mic, and I apologize for sound quality. But next, thank you, Mr. Hans Travis, for being here. And William Deal. Mr. Deal. Okay. Thanks. Mr. Andrews, for being here. I'm partially saying your name because if you change your name and want to testify, you can just raise your hand and do so. Mr. Fisher.
I'm James E. Fisher. My address is 144 Fireweed Apartment 3. I only have heard testimony regarding administrative convenience. I would like to know what premise is for this particular legislation as proposed. That's my testimony. Thank you.
That's worthy of notes. That's a very good question. Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Treeter.
Good
My name is Eric Treiter. I've been an oil field worker for 30 years and a small-scale gold miner. And I guess I consider myself to be a pretty pro-development person. Having said that, I've got some real misgivings about this bill. It seems like it's purposely vague and open to interpretation, and it seems like we're being asked to place too much trust in people in administrative positions. I'm disturbed by the fact that it seems like there's a great potential for the giving away of public land without any certainty that the public's going to benefit from it. I do applaud your efforts to streamline the permitting process, but I'm not really convinced that the most controversial provisions in this bill are really going to aid in this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Treiter. Mary DeFongi, thanks for being here. I see a line across your name.
No.
That's a no. Okay. Mr. Pierce. Mayor Navarre did make it. Be in here somewhere.
Yeah, up to your left. He's hiding behind you over there. Thank you, Peter, Ms. Campbell, and DNR for showing up and listening to our complaints. Alaska Constitution, Article 8, Section 2, maximum benefit and maximum use of our resources for the people of this state. And it requires public comment. We own the resources. We should have a say-so. Instead, you listen to corporations and special interests, not the people that own the resources. All legislative body that they take an oath swears to represent the Alaskans. The Constitution says we have the right to public comment. Look at the loser pay rule. What kind of a piece of legislation is that? That's a joke is what that is. Because people have a concern, you can turn around and sue them? That's absurd. Decisions... DNR and Fish Board is run by political decisions, not science. And I hope somebody's keeping track of how many people are in favor of this and how many people are against it. HB 77 seems like it smooths the process in the same way that doing away with trials smooths the criminal justice system. Greasing the wheels for those with political and financial powers. Not good government, it's special interest government. Our governor and lawmakers have made a crusade against what they call federal overreach, meaning too much Uncle Sam in the state affairs. But here they are doing exactly the same thing, only in local government level. HB 77 is a state overreach, putting the interest of Juneau and outside companies ahead of the people in the local communities. Governor's permitting bill cuts Alaskans out. And since we're on the record, one quick question for Ms. Campbell. It would be nice if the Board of Fish would meet in Soldotna and not in Anchorage. This is where the proposals are. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Michelle Vasquez, did I say that correctly?
You did.
And Doug, there's a water fountain out back. If it pops really near 5 glasses of water here, actually, Mr. Ruffner seems to have a beverage. but the other four, Commissioner, can you check what's in his cup?
Okay. Am I on? Michelle Vasquez. I live in Soldotna. I do agree that there is a trust and intent issue with this entire piece of legislation, but I did type something up, so I'm going to just read it. Article 8, Section 1 of the Alaska Constitution states, It is the policy of the state to encourage the settlement of its land and the development of its resources by making them available for the maximum use consistent with the public interest. Development can be a very good thing, but it is crucial that every Alaskan have a voice as to where that development takes place. As an Alaskan, I believe all citizens of the state have a right to be heard on any project, public or private, that may negatively impact our clean water or abundant, healthy salmon population. HB 77 will silence our voices. It is inconsistent with the public interest or personal responsibility each of us should bear when considering whether or not a development project should go forward. It is not in the public interest to give a small group of persons in the state government the power to make such important decisions about our most precious resources. HB 77 violates the rights of Alaskans, and I respectfully ask that it be voted down in the Senate. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Asquez. Next is Mr. Bill Warren.
Glad you're holding this here, Senator, and everybody's here. I'm Bill Warren. I'm a 62-year resident. I'm a retired, broken-down pipe fitter welder, and I reside on, I'm a bluff dweller in Nikiski. I speak out against House Bill 77, and it's an issue of we own the resources, the people do, not the elected officials. The people own it. And the elected officials work for us. And we collectively, believe it or not, know as much about the resources as the so-called experts. And the public needs to be informed on every step of our resource development. The reason being, and it's no reflection on the people sitting here, but when special interests get involved with billions of dollars, and you have billions of dollars of work, it needs to be out before the public. Because historically and in different areas, there's been problems. So there's a trend here lately to put things on a fast track, and the public doesn't get involved. And town hall meetings is a very effective way. And committee stuff through the LIO is, where we all give public testimony several times on things. And we don't want... No, I've said enough. I'm against 77, and I want clarity in public output, which is our resources, to the fullest. And thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Warren. Gerald Brookman.
My name is Gerald Brookman. I live at 715 Muir Avenue in Kenai. I've lived in Alaska since 1957 and on the Kenai Peninsula since 78. And I intend to spend whatever time remains to me in Alaska. I apologize for not having prepared a written statement. I just drove back this morning and early afternoon from 5 days in Anchorage. My brain cells are a little numb, but I will try and get a written statement that is a little more coherent to you soon. Is there a deadline on that?
No, if you just get them into my office, we're going to get recordings and any written testimony and provide them as a package both to the Senate and the department.
Okay, well, I'll get it to you as soon as I can, but I just want to say that I'm a little disturbed. I appreciate the contribution that the oil industry has made to our state and how much of it runs our state budget and so forth, and the PFD and so forth and so forth. But I read some of this information here that you've given us, and you talk about reform, and of course, I see there's a picture of the cover of Newsweek with Bill Clinton smiling on it, and I guess that should make me feel better, but somehow it doesn't. It has been mentioned that the backup in permits has improved since you've been devoting more resources to getting enough people to process the permits. Well, maybe you should have done that a long time ago. But I'm extremely skeptical of this bill. I think we got along very well without it. I understand that the permits were backed up, but I don't know that the provisions of this bill will help as much as devoting enough resources to processing the permits. So I am just very skeptical, and if I had to say vote for it or vote against it, I would say vote against it. It may be possible to improve it, but I think we've been getting along pretty well without it. And I don't like it. I don't like the thought behind it. And it would take a whole lot to convince me that it is a positive.
Thank you, Mr. Brooklyn. I'm trying to be benevolent, but you're way over. Thank you very much, though. Mr. Clark Lindsay.
My name is Clark Whitney, Jr., a 50-year resident of Alaska. I'm raising my children here. I speak for them tonight. I fished for 20 years in Bristol Bay, and in 81, I partnered up with Pete Trefon, an elder from Non-Dalton. As he helped me pilot my boat down the Quijack River, he taught me to always look back as you travel forward so you don't lose track of where you've been. Alaskans love their salmon. In a 2011 poll by Public Opinion Strategies, over 90% of Alaskans said salmon are essential to their way of life and to the economy. But it is becoming harder to protect our salmon and clean water. When we look back, we see there are ever more wealthy interests from outside who want to conduct destructive mining through, in, and around some of our most productive waters. Alaskans are told that our supposedly rigorous permitting process will protect us, but over the last decade, much has changed. During Frank Murkowski's term, we lost streamside buffer zones, the ADF&G habitat division was absorbed by DNR, and mixing zones allowed pollution to be dumped into our waters. More recently, the Alaska Coastal Zone Management Plan, which gave residents a voice, was allowed to expire. A 2006 Citizens Initiative requiring cruise ships to meet Alaska water standards was repealed. The Bristol Bay Salmon Forever Initiative has been met with lawsuits, and the Chewitna Citizens' attempt to reserve water was met by a declaration from DNR that it would be okay to strip mine through 11 miles of salmon stream for some low-grade coal. A really bad deal, no matter how you look at it. After all of this, we are faced with HB 77 that would transfer even more power to DNR, remove the ability to conserve enough water for healthy salmon streams, take away public notice of such intent, and eliminate public comment. When we look to the south, we see that they chose not to protect many streams, and we can learn from their mistakes. This is a partial list of extinct streams to the south of Alaska. I would like to suggest that instead of streamlining such destruction, we should turn back and restore real protection for our waters and salmon. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitney. Mr. Schoonmaker? Did I say that correctly?
Schoonmaker.
Pardon?
Schoonmaker.
Just like it's spelled, like the chicken, right?
My name is Steve Schoonmaker, a 40-year Peninsula resident. I'm here to speak in opposition to HB 77. These are my thoughts. Since the 89 oil spill, and particularly in the last decade or so, we have seen concerted efforts by our governors and state legislators to circumvent, dilute, or outright skip over the public input process concerning matters of stewardship. stewardship of supposedly shared natural resources. Amongst the broken pieces lying everywhere now, seemingly unnoticed, of what was and what is still expected of Alaska's fish and wildlife resources, are proposals like Pebble and Chewitna Mines, and now HB 77 with its arrogant air of Big Brother, seeming to minimize the financial threat potential of the citizen's conscience. The citizen's conscience. Why under HB 77 is public input restricted to only those with financial stake? And why oppose Alaska's constitutional provisions for common use and input? What is the hurry? Is it time is wise, or is it time is money? I smell the bulldozers at Chewitna, and I hear the grease applied to fast-track development late at night when I'm trying to sleep. And I wonder, outside the walls of state office, inside the conscience of your citizenship, what does the state mean to you? Is it money? Thanks for letting me speak.
Thank you, Mr. Schoonmaker. Mr. Atchison, please.
My name is Dave Atchison. I'm from Sterling, and I want to thank the senator for calling this hearing. Anybody who has weeded their way through this bill knows it is really long, and I call it unwieldy, and I don't know whether that's on purpose. You almost have to be a lawyer to read it, but there's so many things within it that are very concerning to me, and the biggest is the broad authority that this gives to the head of DNR. And then Mr. Fogles even said it when he was giving the presentation that it raises a bar for appeal for average Alaskan. And it sounds all well and good that you can issue permits for somebody doing a cabin, but it's more than that. You can have a large outside interest come in and use state land, and it curtails our voices, our voices as citizens, and that's the most concerning for me on this. And as far as in-stream reservations, which now average Alaskan could file for, I would suggest that maybe to the senator or to our lawmakers that they make some kind of a bill or a law that says we must retain the amount of water in a stream that is fish-bearing that protects our resource, and then there won't be any reason for anybody to file an in-stream reservation, and it'll save taxpayers a whole lot of money because DNR won't have to mess with it, and we'll protect our resources well into the future. So there's so many things in this that I can't even, I'm not going to be able to get into it in 2 minutes. But effectively, it stifles our voice and gives outside interests more power over our land and our resources, and that's not a good thing.
Thank you, Mr. Atchison. This is Marge Hayes.
And I have lived here forever, and I love it. Thank you, Senator, for holding this this meeting. This is great, and thank you for you folks for coming. And I thank the DNR for trying to be more efficient. The only thing is I want to bring up a reminder to DNR, democracy is not efficient. It is sort of messy. And dictatorship is real efficient. They cut right to the chase. And in the long run, it may not work too well, as we all know. So please take what people are saying tonight, take it real seriously. Don't go back and this is just another night, another job, and they're all upset or something. Please tell them specifically and go over specifically what people are saying. They're just really good. I just appreciate it so much. I keep thinking about the common good for a community. And the common good shouldn't be made by people that are someplace else that are in the Juneau area, which is great, but really in touch with how we are being impacted. And so go to communities and find out, It's going to take a while. It's not efficient. I promise you, you know that. So I do appreciate you coming, and I do appreciate all you folks. Thank you.
Thank you, Marge. Next on the list, and let me remind you that there is a sign-in sheet if you'd like to testify in the back of the room. And my trusted staff here, Mr. Lutch, will pick it up periodically. I have one yellow sheet here of someone that signed in, but it'd be nice to have all the information on the sign-in sheet. So, Mr. Sandberg, can you sign in the back of the room, please?
Oh, he did. I just I had to leave the sheet back there.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, next on the list, well, Daryl Nelson, thanks for being here. Mr. Hibsch.
Yes, my name is Eric Hibsch, and I'm the Vice President of the United Cooking and Drift Association and Vice President of the Alaska Salmon Alliance. But I'm not actually here representing either one of those today, but I can say that the commercial fishing industry finds HB 77 extremely troubling. What I would like to do is tell you about an interaction we had with DNR just in the last year. About a year ago, commercial fishermen in this area started receiving notices from DNR about how they were going to institute a mooring buoy regulation and fee system in the Kusiloff River. We didn't need regulation. The Corps of Engineers had been regulating the moorings there for over two decades, and it worked just fine. So we requested meetings with DNR, and the reply was always, oh, we'd love to meet with you, but we're busy. And this went on for a number of weeks. Finally, we asked Mr. Brent Johnson, our borough assembly person from that area, to sponsor a resolution that requested DNR delay implementation of that program.
Mr. Hibsch?
Yes?
I'm going to treat it as a committee meeting. I'm going to ask you to stay on House Bill 77, if you can. So if you can turn it back in, maybe get to the point of where you are there.
Okay.
And I'll give you some extra time. Please.
Sure.
Okay.
I guess what I'm getting at is during this whole process of this mooring buoy, these new regulations and expenses for the commercial fishing industry, we were ignored. We were a stakeholder in that process, and we were ignored by DNR. DNR also basically ignored the resolution that was before the assembly that passed unanimously by the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. They ignored it. We never got a response at all on that. So if this is the kind of treatment DNR shows the stakeholders now under current regulations, just think how bad it's going to be if they're given unrestricted power. So thank you.
Thank you, Eric. I guess I should say it, that Eric's much better half. Ms. Cassidy.
I'm Catherine Cassidy from Kusiloff. Thank you, Senator Machicki, for not rubber stamping this bill last year and for arranging this hearing today. I make my living commercial salmon fishing. My strongest objections to HB 77 are related to the change in stream water reservations and the power granted to DNR under this bill that would allow them to issue permits notwithstanding applicable law. To me, that seems like a clear road to salmon losing the wars between salmon and mining in the state. If it's already hard enough now for us to protect salmon habitat in Alaska, and this bill, in my opinion, is taking away what little power we have to try and protect the resource that generates $253 billion a year for the state through commercial fishing. And if the legislature decides to try and rewrite this bill into a reasonable bill, I would recommend revisiting each provision and weighing the threat to salmon against the benefit of any mining company income that might be given an advantage under a streamlined bill process. And I don't want to be silenced. I'm afraid that if HB 77 passes, this may be the last public hearing we have with DNR. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Cassidy. Mr. Representative Steve, I think you're supposed to call him Mr. One of you, but
thank you. Thank you. I'm Paul Seaton. I'm the representative for Funny River, Kasiloff, and all the way down to Homer. I voted against this bill last year because the words notwithstanding any other provisions of law specifically means that Fish and Game's Title 16 will not apply, will not constrain DNR's granting of these permits. General permits are going to be granted. That's a broad geographic area, which means that all you people, whether it's in Funny River or Kasiloff, there's going to be this hearing about a general permit covering maybe the entire Cook Inlet or the entire Kenai Peninsula. And then when it comes up to a specific of that permit in your area, you're not going to be able to comment on it because that's all going to be, it's not going to be adjudicated separately. Bad thing for people, local residents, to have impact. Temporary water use permits are now 5-year permits. This bill says that they can give multiple and successive temporary water permits for the same project, which basically means that temporary water permits, which are done on a much quicker basis, will become basically permanent. So, you know, that's really bad. The other thing is that specific significant and irreparable harm standard is going to be interpreted by the department. We know what that means. We've already had a determination that digging up 11 miles of salmon stream is not significant or irreparable harm because maybe in 30 years they can rebuild that salmon stream. To me, that's basically a non-starter. And the appeal process of if you're substantially and adversely affected means that unless you've had an economic interest in that particular project, you're probably not going to be able to either comment or appeal that decision. And I am I out of time?
You got a few seconds.
If I've got a few seconds, I would just like to say that, you know, there's a big interaction taking place because all of the special harvest, special use areas in the state, Kenai River Special Management Area, Kachemak Bay Special Management Area, those are all being rewritten right now in secret by the department, and then they're going to be rolled out as a common common comment period, just like these general permits, so you won't be able to comment specifically on your area or have that impact that's going to be on your area because it's going to be a statewide comment on all of the plans at one time. And so we're getting the same thing as this general permit, where the comment is going to be so broad that your specific concerns will not be allowed, and that's why I've opposed this push for this kind of streamlining in House Bill 77. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. Next on the list is Ms. Bates.
Hello, my name is Kate Bay, and I'm from Soldotna. Thank you for taking my testimony. I grew up on an acreage in Ketchikan, and when I was a kid, I'd sneak out and hike the acreage down to the shoreline and practice singing. The acoustics were incredible in the forest. I could gauge the pitch, volume, and texture of my voice there. It was a do-it-yourself lesson with nature as the teacher. I tell you this because as a second-generation Alaskan, I have an inheritance and a responsibility to protect my birthright. Article 8, Section 1 of Alaska's Constitution says that the development of Alaska's resources must be consistent with the public interest. That means that Alaska's government must have a dialogue with the public. Amendment 1 of the U.S. Constitution guarantees my freedom of speech. This is why I'm asking you to vote no on HB 77. It is virtually impossible to silence Alaskans. If you take away Alaskans' preliminary notices and comment periods on issues that impact water, fish, and human health, then you close the door to the people. But Alaskans, in their typical do-it-yourself political fashion, will construct their own and will open it up for themselves so that they can speak to their government in all sorts of creative ways. They will get on the street with signs and petition booklets, post Facebook and Twitter messages, write letters to the editor and op-ed pieces. There are solidarity sing-alongs, rallies, bumper stickers, random acts of art, and results on election day. So, even if the commissioner of the DNR is a really great guy, I still don't want to give him the big starring solo. That's way too much power to give to one person. We live in an owner state where the song is a chorus for all of us to sing. Vote no on HB 77, and thank you for listening to me.
This is very, very good timing. Ms. Mullen.
Well, it's hard to follow a poet. I wanted to speak directly to the Chwitna question, which is, I didn't know the state had admitted that that is what triggered the House Bill 77. Natural resource extraction corporations, by their nature, have short-term interests in mind. They want to keep their stockholders happy, and when the resource is depleted, they're gone. Their actions are not always consistent with the public interest. People of Alaska will be substantially adversely affected if this bill goes through. In particular, the sale of Chiwetna coal to China, where it will be burned, adding to the global climate change, which in Alaska is a warming trend, which we are living through today. We have streams already in southeastern Alaska that have had episodes where the water was too low or the temperature was too warm for the salmon to return up to their stream for spawning. We've had come close to that, I believe, some places on the Kenai Peninsula recently. We have the additional gift from China of particulates that carry mercury into our waters, which are collecting in the bodies of our halibut. The days of short-term thinking should be over. We need to make certain that we weigh the economic benefits equally with the long-term effects of these various projects on future generations. House Bill 77 would remove our right to speak out to protect future generations. And short-term doesn't work anymore. We have to realize that we are kind of coming to the cliff with global warming, and we're kind of just following the economic development thing off like lemmings.
Thank you, Ms. Mullen. Marilyn Copnell?
Connell
with a great big old yes next to testify.
You betcha.
My name is Marilyn Connell, and I live at 380 West Katmai in Soldotna, Alaska. I've been in Alaska since before it was a state, and any time a bureaucrat tries to tell me that I don't have the right to disagree with the decision before it becomes law, it's wrong. I'm not a commercial fisherman, but I'm an Alaskan from the tip of my hair to the bottom of my toes, and nobody should be able to tell me that I don't have a right to put input on anything the state government is going to decide. And this thing that I have says that HB 77 would authorize DNR to permanently give away state land to private developers. My foot. You cannot give away our land. We already let the federal government take too much of it, but you can't be just giving it away with no expectation of getting something back for it. Somebody, if you transfer land, somebody better be able to have to buy it or work for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Carnell. Next is Leslie Morton.
Thank you, Senator, for holding this public hearing. The DNR commissioner asks us to listen to the intent of the legislation. So I ask, who does this bill intend to benefit? Who is the intended beneficiary from this bill? It cuts away its standing, effectively removing public input. It does not recognize person as an entity to apply for in-stream reservation. It allows for multiple five-year temporary water use permits, which are typically used for large industrial operations. The change from specific to general permits suggests that we should trust DNR to identify what constitutes significant and irreparable harm. This is the same agency willing to trade a salmon stream for a coal mine. HB 77 strips Alaskans of their individual rights. So what is the intent of this legislation? Or should I say, who or what is this bill benefiting? Not individual Alaskans. I oppose House Bill 77.
Thank you, Ms. Morton. And thank you, John Morton, for being here. He crossed out, just to be clear. Mr. Morton, did you cross out your yes for testifying?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Dean, Jesse. That's a very nice ring selection.
Sorry.
My name is Jack Dean. I've been a resident here since 1982. First off, I'd like to thank the senator for bringing this bill to our attention. We used to have a government by, of, and for the people. Now, by all indications, at both the state and federal level, we have a government by, of, and for the corporations. This, what caught my interest was this power plant at Chicoutimi Lake. I know where Chicoutimi Lake is. I've been out there. This lake is in the middle of nowhere in the largest and the most pristine national state park in the United States. Is this a project that the governor wants to be able to provide state-funded power for the Pebble Mine? In my view, House Bill 77 is a blatant power grab by the Parnell Institute in government. They apparently want to set the state, give away resources to the lowest bidder without dealing with us pesky citizens. In my estimation, it has the fingerprints of former Frank Murkowski written all over it. This is billing is by, for, and of the corporations. It's time we, the people, start to reclaim our support, our democracy, and oppose this blatant corporate power grab. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Ms. McLeod, Katie, are you here? Okay. Well, we're glad you're here, and it wasn't clear if you wanted to talk, but thank you, Mr. Southwell.
My name's Ray Southwell. I'm from the Kiski. I'm going to present it from a different angle. Call the root cause of why we're all here.
On page 3 of the DNR publication, it talks about potential. The reason we need this change is because potential investors sometimes express reluctance to pursue projects in the U.S. and Alaska because of the ever-present risk of permitting delays and litigation. On page 5, we need to secure future oil, increasing production by making Alaska more competitive. I've only been here 10 years in Alaska, but it appears to me that big oil runs Alaska, not because of some grand conspiracy or because politicians are crooked, but the mere fact that they have big money and big power. What I don't get is that we don't use our untouched resource of money by creating a public bank. Bank of Alaska, put billions of dollars in it, create credit with the money deposited, never touching the deposit, and do it right ourselves. I don't get that. It's not a new idea. Bank of North Dakota had the same situation in 1919. They established a Bank of North Dakota.
Mr. Southwell,
today,
can I ask you please talk about House Bill 77?
That goes to the root cause. It's the funding. And I'll close with this then, and look up Bank of North Dakota. But we need to take control of our untouched resource called money. He who controls the money controls everything. We're billionaires, folks, and we need to get a hold of that money. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Southwell. John Mario, please.
I fish at Tuitna. I fish commercially, set net on the beach. I sport fish it. I subsistence fish it. I personal use fish it. I ate those fish for lunch today. From where I see it, I don't know a lot about this bill, but I see kind of where it's headed and the effect that it's had. You know, at Tuitna, we filed for water rights, you know, and we thought that it only makes sense to reserve the water in the stream for the salmon. You know, we don't want a coal mine, a strip mine, in the middle of the salmon stream. So when we filed these rights, it seemed like, good, how can they argue with the rights? Right? So we filed it. Now, I'm not saying anyone in this room, but you are responsible if you're a DNR. They never acted on our filing. It took an order from a court to get them to act on our application. They still didn't act on it. It took another order from the court to get them to consider the application. Now, they don't have money. They may say that, but they have a job to do. You know, if we don't get our job done, we're out of here. So, you know, I don't want to hear that you don't have the money. And then, right, now that they have to do it, they come up with this bill. And now they're saying, oh, we're going to change the law now. We don't have to do it at all. You know, that bill, that application has been there. And I don't even see how it's contempt of court not to act on it. How can you not act on it? And then they want to change the law. And then they're going to start all over again. You know, I don't have too much more to say.
Thank you, Mr. Mario. Mr. Bruce Badler.
First of all, thanks, Peter, for getting everybody together here for this fun meeting. Sorry I missed the earlier presentations by everybody up here. I would have liked to hear what you had to say, but...
Well, if I can, the presentations will be put on an Alaska basis and in our newsletter. It comes out just before the holidays here. We'll help folks with the location on how to...
Okay. I was over in the Kenai Courthouse getting deselected from jury duty. So. Other things were pressing. But I want to just touch on a couple things I wrote down about other presenters here. I agreed with a lot of things that were said. Mainly, individual Alaskans need to have input. I think you're going to probably try to modify this bill instead of throwing it out. But I think you know, not allowing individual Alaskans to have input on these things is a ridiculous thing that's in this bill. I agree that in the best interest of Alaska or Alaskans needs to be defined better. I don't think that's a well-defined term in this bill. I agree with a lot of people that said there's a trust issue. I think there needs to be checks and balances in any kind of development, and I think one individual shouldn't be the dictator. Fast tracking of development things, I think a lot of times is not necessarily a good thing. That needs to be oversight. There needs to be public input. All the people who are affected includes the Alaskans who live in the local areas of development. It can't preclude those people. Continuity of development is another thing that I don't think anybody's touched on. I think, you know, from one administration to the next, I think a bill that you put together needs to be something that can be counted on to have a continuous type of idea for people coming from the development side of things, so that they know that, say, if one administration leaves and another administration comes in, there's not going to be a huge swing in what goes on with development in the state. That was brought up by somebody else that wasn't at this meeting, but I think that's something that you need to consider about how it's all written here. I love the comment earlier about messy democratic process versus efficient dictatorship. I think that's really apropos. Changes to the law, I would say you should require in-stream flow. You should require public testimony from affected Alaskans, including all individuals, and you should require compliance with existing laws in dealing with the DNR.
Thank you, Mr. Gavin. And Mr. Wagner, did you sign that you wanted to speak? Or did you just, or you didn't hear? Okay, we'll move on to Ms. Wittenberg. I also want to thank Assembly Member Mr. Wayne Ogle for being here. And another Soldatna City Council member, Keith Baxter, was here a moment ago. I'd like to see policymakers interested here as well. And thanks for finally making it, Mayor. I know you were held up with the weather issue from Anchorage. Ms. Wittenberg.
Thank you, Peter. I'm an Alaskan, 52 years, love Alaska, raised my children here, plan to stay here. House Bill 77 is a government assault on our rights as Alaskan citizens, protection of our waters under the Alaska Constitution. We don't need to change things. We have a constitution that protects our waterways if you leave it alone. We have a constitution that protects the public's right, and people thought long and hard to make this constitution. It's not something that we need to mess around with because somebody wants to streamline things for a corporation. Governor Parnell was elected to represent the people of this great state and manage our resources wisely. He is not a corporate CEO. He's not charged with streamlining processes to make it easier for foreign mining corporations. And he recently stated that only a government entity should hold water reservations, not private Alaskans. I don't know where he gets that idea that he has the right to say that we need to change our laws to suit him. Our legislature also has no right to change our constitution without a vote of the people. This is a blatant giveaway. It was set up with forethought to allow citizen involvement. I did not elect the DNR commissioner. That changes at the whim of a governor. The DNR commissioner could be anybody. They could have a political science degree, for instance, like the one does now. Knows nothing about the environment, and I'm not saying you because I know you do. But we have state employees that have been administrative heads that have gone on to work for a Pebble partnership. So are we to trust these people to have our interests at heart? I want to say also that I think it's a shame that we're suing Alaskan citizens for, you know, standing up for their rights in a court of law. That used to be allowed without lawsuits until Frank Murkowski changed that. We need to look at the fact that the integrity of our waters are crucial to our salmon habitat. Pebble has applied for an in-stream reservation of Upper Tellaric Creek in the South Fork
of the Coquitlam River. These are salmon-rich waters that include seven reaches of the creek and stretches 35 miles into prime fish habitat. Chuetna Mines not only requested water, but they want to dig into a riverbed and take up 11 miles of an entire creek. And our own state district judge said that the agency has not acted on private in-stream Chuetna River applications. DNR has unreasonably withheld agency action. Okay, and I just want to say one last thing. Subsistence, $7 a pound for subsistence foods, that's what it's worth. No, it's worth our lifestyle. And $1.5 billion per year in Bristol Bay and 12,000 jobs, that's nothing to sneeze at. We're not here for the corporations only. We are here to protect Alaskan rights. Thank you. And thank you for this hearing.
Thank you, Ms. Winberg. Mr. Sandberg.
My name's also on that yellow sheet. I didn't know if that other one got misplaced. My name's Eric Sandberg. I've been a resident of Sterling for over 30 years. I'm a commercial fisherman as well as working in construction for most of my life here. I thank you for the opportunity of letting us be heard, and I apologize that I also was not here for the presentation starting at 4 o'clock, which for a lot of us folks that have to work was kind of unreasonable. I do see that everyone who is speaking here is against it, and I hope that you and the panel take that to heart. I think that if this law is so going to be a big impact for Alaskans because these ideas are in our best interest, I think that the people that are for this bill should step up here. And I don't see them. So I hope you take to heart the people that are here and the people that are coming straight from work to make sure we get heard. I don't see the wisdom in giving the power to somebody to make these decisions, and I feel that our governor is stepping way out of bounds trying to do that. And I know it's been said a lot, but I think it needs to be said again that the harvest of dirty coal to be sold to China to end up as acid rain into our ocean and possibly destroy a lot of the feed fish, shellfish that we rely on, it's just not reasonable. And we need to look to the future and curb the use of fossil fuels because we cannot afford to burn them anymore. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sandberg. Mr. Borneman.
My name is Brandon Borneman. I live in Kenai and work in Soldotna. I am here today to speak out against House Bill 77. And before I start my sort of small revelation I had in the corner over there, I'd like to make a few statements to you, Senator. First, I'd like to thank you. It takes a lot of courage to stand up against the majority, and we really appreciate you bringing these meetings back to the public. That's a big deal for us, as you can see by the turnout tonight. Last time I spoke into this microphone, a lot of you were here in the same room for the 50-foot habitat ordinance for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. And Senator and Commissioners, if you think this meeting is heated, you should have been here for that. There's lots of loud voices, and really what stood out to me in that room was how tense it was and how diverging everybody's statements were that evening. I bring that up to point out that there are so many different types of people in this room together tonight for the same purpose, to speak out against House Bill 77. I see both sides of that habitat ordinance represented here together. I see fishing guides, I see scientists, I see commercial fisher people, I see educators, I see federal, state, local agency personnel, oil field workers, miners, and other numerous organizations and private citizens coming out to speak together. simply stated, I think that fact that these people are here speaking together against House Bill 77 is probably the strongest statement we can make to you tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boardman. Heather
Rash.
Rash, please.
Everyone up here doing maybe biological, maybe after one, after, well, or, you know, I might take one after just a couple moments.
Okay. My name is Heather Rash, and I oppose House Bill 77. I too am pleased to see so many people here tonight, and I hope everybody in the government realizes how many different types of people are against this bill. I think a lot of us are here for the same reason. We feel that it violates our Alaskan Constitution, the rights of clean water in the Constitution. And then a few things that I've noticed about this bill, which I was involved with last spring as well, is that it not only does it take away the rights of the public to file for stream reservations, it also takes away the rights of native Alaskan Indian tribes to file for stream reservations. Tribes who've been here for thousands of years would no longer be able to file to preserve their own native streams if this bill were to pass. So we need to protect our fishing industry, subsistence fishing, and all of our streams, and we need to protect our environment, and so we need to have public input, and so we need to keep the public process and not pass laws which would bypass public process. And in addition, we need to keep the corporations to follow the same laws that the people follow. For example, if a corporation has a temporary water permit, then it needs for 5 years, it needs to be a temporary water permit. They should not be able to apply for another permit. They should not be able to have their temporary water permit become permanent. And I think everybody's said just about everything else I was thinking of. So thank you.
Thank you. Why don't we take maybe head back here 5 or 6 minutes. Stretch your legs. We still have another page to go here, so we'll see you in just a few moments.
Yep.
I'm going to cut out.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a car?
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you? What's that name? 84. How does a...
You're a third
grader. I have my face made, that's it. I was funny, you know.
How you doing?
People, well, we're going to go there. Hey, Mr. Mayor, how you doing?
Good.
You? So I'm back again. Well,
yeah, definitely good to see you again. Yeah.
I think it's crushed.
All right, thank you.
Well,
I'll never forget my second year call that year. I was about 40
minutes.
Yeah.
Got room. That's unfortunate for him, but good for you. Yeah, well, you did very well. And you're, you look a lot like Scott. I can see the resemblance. So you don't get to see Scott or his girls anymore?
No, I know.
Hello.
Yeah, but the problem is,
Do we have to get our...
No, no, they definitely will be aligned on their way home.
Understand from the notice that I saw about this meeting that it came about because some people, unidentified people, raised concerns about this issue. I'd like to express appreciation to those people for having this hearing. I'd like to register my disgust that we're in this room once again having to tell representatives of our government that we want participatory government. That shouldn't be something that we have to ask for, that we have to constantly try to protect. Why are people trying to change the fundamental way our government's supposed to work? I hear lip service about values from politicians of a certain ideological bent. They tell me that they're all about values. Every time I turn around, those politicians are trying to tear down what's valuable about our own government. I'm disgusted. I don't want to have to come in here and try to fight somebody that wants to take my ability to participate in government away from me.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. Mr. Chico. Blank stairs. I can't read the name. Okay. John McCombs.
That's me.
Hello. Thanks for being here. Thanks for this opportunity. My name is John McCombs, and I'm a Drift Gillnetter. I've lived in Inilchik for 37 years. This bill favors a non-renewable resource over a renewable resource. It is poorly written. It is bad for fish. I'm from the 60s. I debated whether the best use of my 2 minutes would be to chant no, hell no, or try to sway with an array of poetic phrases and facts. Simply stated, I oppose HB 77, and so should you. And I know this meeting is pretty well attended tonight, but there would be a lot more people here against this if the Lower Cook Inlet Board of Fish meeting wasn't being held in Anchorage. There'd be a lot of more testimony against, and so I think that's something that should be straightened out also. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McCombs. So a reminder to the crowd, too, tomorrow night in Homer, same hours, 4 to 7. Mr. Toffenberg, thanks for being here. Mr. Geese.
Oh, I think I marked that incorrectly. I didn't want to testify. I thought you were asking for permission on the issue. My position is no, not that I didn't want to testify.
Mr. Toffenberg, you're welcome to come.
Right.
Stop by here on the way.
And everyone else.
Can you stop by here on the way and just make sure that I've got your...
You want me to change it?
No. Well, yeah, I'll change it for you if you don't mind.
As you already know, my name is John Toffenberg. I'm from Sterling. I've been an 18-year resident there. I believe HB 77 is simply state overreach and corporate pandering. I have three rhetorical questions that need real answers. First, I'd like to comment that the governor is the one responsible, as I understand it, for the appointment of the commissioner of DNR, and he is someone that has never shown an iota of responsibility in the area of conservation, and I believe the natural resources of our state are in desperate need of real conservation. The three questions. One, does the state administration fear the input of non-corporate Alaskans? Number two, does the state administration believe outside special interests deserve more consideration than Alaskans? Number three, does the state administration believe Alaskans might want to preserve the living ecosystems that are the real sustainable treasure of our state? Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Ricky Geese. I'm the executive director of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. I live at 4289 Beaver Loop Road. I'd like to take a little bit different tact. I think you've heard a lot of the sentiments of the residents on the Kenai Peninsula here regarding HB 77. I would like to point out the need to, echoing something that Dave Etchison talked about, the need for the state to have a program in place for minimum water reservations for fish and wildlife. We don't have that currently. If this bill does get to the to Senate Finance, I think a friendly amendment would be to put in a systematic program for gauging, not so necessarily so much for main stem waters in Alaska, but for the secondary and tributary water systems. Gauging is expensive. However, with modeling and with elevation data, we can get some pretty thorough results that at least would give us at least a baseline estimate of water needs during variations of different water levels. If I had been talking with Christopher Estes, who's a recently retired ADF&G water person within ADF&G, and I know this was proposed back in the 1990s, but due to budget restraints, it was never funded. I believe that would be a very prudent thing for the state of Alaska to get water reservations. I know we have millions of lakes and hundreds of thousands of river systems, so I don't think we're going to systematically work through the next 200 years and get the gauging data for every system. I think we have to have a rigorous modeling program that gets put in place, and I think that's something that all Alaskans can get behind and support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dees. Just to clarify, the bill has been through Senate Finance. It was stalled to the floor and went back to Senate rules. Next is Mr. Mullich. Just earlier, but he's back.
Thank you. House Bill 77 is unconstitutional. Its intention is to ignore the voice of the people to benefit corporations. I can promise you, Senator, that if you vote yes on this bill and fail to rally your fellow senators around the people will speak and you will not be reelected.
Thank you, Mr. Mullen. Mr. Randa.
My name is Dennis Randa. Thank you for this opportunity. I've been here about 40 years, and about 30 years ago, I started involving myself in water issues. In 1990, I found myself sitting in DNR offices in Juneau talking about this very issue, water reservations, water rights. I wasn't happy about the way I saw DNR handling it then. You can imagine I'm even less happy about this, because this disenfranchises me, tells me that my value of an opinion of the resource is of no value to you. Disenfranchisement, think about that. This bill asks me, and you folks, as you're speaking, ask me to trust you. I find that ironic. The man who pushed this forward, I believe he's our governor. I didn't vote for him, by the way. He mistrusts government horribly. At least he makes a lot of political fodder out of that. I find it so ironic that now he's asking us to trust him and his administration in the same way he doesn't trust federal government and all the government policies in that regard. And to remove the citizens from our government, which is what you're doing, disenfranchising me. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Randa. The last person I have, unless there's a new list, Mr. Letch.
Sure.
Anyone back there signed up? New name, Ricky?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Mr. Sandberg?
Yeah, I was on the list earlier. If I am the last person to speak, I'd just like to
Mr.
ask
Sandberg.
What the panel takes away from this meeting.
Okay. Is there any other public testimony? Okay. All right. Well, that was fascinating. I think it was very productive. We promised to bring it back to see if any of the panel members had any questions for the commissioners, if the commissioners had any additional statements. So I will do just that. Panel members first.
I think I'm out of battery. Thanks, Senator. One thing that we didn't really get to tonight, I was sort of waiting to see how it came out, is the land exchange section of the bill, to talk about the way that land exchange law works now. And the changes in this bill, the way I read it, are pretty substantial for me. I'm just going to read the changing language. The way I understand it right now is that states can exchange land for land. It's a pretty straightforward process. It happens often. I don't think that's a real problem for anyone. The new language in the bill says that the director of the Division of Land, or DNR, may now accept cash from a party to exchange land. That's pretty new that the state can just sell public land for money. And the language goes farther to say that the director may enter into an exchange with a finding of the value of the property to be received together with other public benefits equals or exceeds the value of the property. The way that I interpret that is the director can exchange land for public benefit. And my concern is that you could see the creation of jobs from the Chewitna coal mine, for example, as a benefit to the public, and therefore enter into an exchange agreement for the promise, but not the guarantee, of jobs down the road. And I think that's taken too far. Can you explain that for us?
You bet, Lindsay. That's a good point. This is a real significant provision in this bill. I must correct something you said. DNR sells land for cash all the time. We have for probably 40 years. We have a land disposal program. The commissioner of DNR can put out land sales for people. We have subdivisions. We have home site developments all over the state. And that's part of what we're supposed to do. We've been asked to do by the people of Alaska and the legislature to sell land to Alaskans. A very important part of our jobs at DNR. So the issue with land exchanges is that as most of you know, Alaska has a very complex land status pattern. It's still evolving. It's still crystallizing. We have 105 million acres that we were entitled to in the state of land entitlement. We've got about 100 million acres of it today. We still have 5 million to go. The native corporations are in the same position. They're still getting their land. It's crystallizing. There are places where the land pattern is crystallizing in such a way that we didn't intend for it to crystallize, and access is being blocked, and Alaskans are being denied access, for example. So it's getting more and more critical that we be able to put the cards on the table and start looking at land exchanges. The current land exchange law requires us to exchange land for equal value, okay? And it's just simply unworkable, okay? So if a native corporation, for example, has a piece of land they want to trade for us, we have to appraise the two parcels, which costs a lot of money to appraise the parcels. And if they don't equal in value, we have to figure out how to make them equal in value, which oftentimes requires a replat, a survey. And it is going to take years and years and years, which for the most part hardly ever works out. So essentially, land exchanges are sort of just unworkable. So the intent of this change is to allow us to be able to have flexibility in how we structure those land exchanges. It still has to be done by a commissioner's best interest determination, that this is in the best interest of the state. Public notice is not cut out of that process one bit. So that is the intent. Without some change to the land exchange statutes, we just won't be able to do land exchanges unless, you know, people are willing to put up years of process and lots of public money to do the exchange, which we're not going to see anymore. So I think, again, look at the problem. The problem is there. It's important to solve. And, you know, this proposal and this bill is our attempt to solve that problem.
Just in wrap up, the last question was sort of what the panelists are taking home from tonight, and I know that probably wasn't directed for me because you're looking to hear from the agency and probably the senator.
You're a panelist.
But I'm a panelist, so I'm going to go for it. For me, the take home, I mean, you know, the turnout here is overwhelming. I am humbled. You guys all said everything better than I could. And I share a lot of the concerns that were expressed by the fishermen and lots of other kinds of stakeholders in the room. The take home for me is that this bill is, Ed talked about pressure points, but there are some pretty significant concerns in this bill that I think have been expressed very wisely and eloquently tonight. And I guess I'd like to hear if the administration, if the governor, is willing to listen to this feedback and make some changes to the bill before it goes back to the floor. That's what I've heard everyone in this room ask for, and I hope that's the message that you can bring back and maybe answer for us now.
Thank you. Well, I can certainly give my piece. There's some work in my view that needs to be done to the bill. So the way the process works, where it is right now is in Senate rules. It could come back to the floor, or it can be adjusted in the rules. It could be adjusted on the floor. We worked on some amendments last year. My biggest concerns last year, and I talked to you a lot. Thank you. And my biggest concerns last year was ensuring adequate in-stream water reservations for fish. And I think we had a constructive amendment. I think we could have passed that amendment. But when I hear some of the other concerns in my constituents, these are really awkward mics. Some of the concerns of my constituency, and they're similar to some of the things that I was concerned about. I mean, how do we define what is appropriate for a general permit so that the public, and I trust Mr. Vogels, but he's not going to be there forever. And it should be a law that clarifies the limit of a general permit. Again, I starred what ensures adequate in-stream water flow for streams that ADFG reviewed. I don't like the notwithstanding. I don't think it should trump the tools that ADFG has under their belt right now to ensure adequate protections for management streams. So I think it needs a little bit of work, and I think it can happen. I'm only one. I think there are others that feel similarly, and your testimony tonight, everyone in this room, is going to help me. It's going to help people understand why I feel the way I do. And it's very funny because someone talked about the re-election thing. It doesn't work with me. It just doesn't. It doesn't work with me. I don't do things to get re-elected. I do things because I think they're the right thing. Whether you agree with them or not, that's how it works. And I want to do the right thing here. I also like corporations. I don't dislike corporations. But they should not be given more rights than Alaskans have. They employ us. They provide a large percentage of the revenue in our state that we depend on to operate and succeed. But they need the same limits that we would expect of anyone else. And I love the statement that came over
I like it. It is something, I think it is something to focus on. State overreach isn't any better, and we hear the federal overreach phrase being thrown around quite a bit. But you gave me tools tonight to bring back. I know that the administration that is here is listening, or they would not have come. I know that in my heart. It would have been just as easy for them to not come. And so that's why I appreciate it so much. I think they're genuinely interested in hearing what we have to say, and they did.
May I ask one question, and ask it to Ed, actually?
You bet.
I'm really concerned with precedent, and since, you know, you've been with the DNR for quite a while, can you explain how precedent works, how it's worked in the past? I'm just, you know, the statement has been made that it's all right to mine through 11 miles of Salmon Street. So I think a lot of people in this room and in the state are really concerned that if we set that precedent, then that will open. Hopefully, I'd like to ask.
But if I can, just real quick, I'll hand it right back to you, I promise.
I do want to get your questions after that one. I'd prefer that you provide them and we'll get them answered for you. We're up on 7, and it's not part of the format. I don't want to keep them all night. I know the commissioner hasn't played, so I'll hand it over. It's a good question. But any future ones, just send us a note, and we'll get them to the department and try to get them answered for you.
Yeah, and I'll respond to that question. I mean, this sort of came up a number of times tonight, but just to be real clear, DNR has not made that statement, okay? We have not said it's okay to mine through 10 miles of Salmon Stream. I make that very clear, okay? We don't even have a plan in place yet that the company has given us on how they're going to do that. We've got about 2 years of a giant EIS that's still going to churn through the mill before we even begin making decisions on that mine. I just want to be real clear on it. No decisions on that mine have been made by DNR, Fish and Game, DEC, or any other state agency, or federal agency, or local government at this point. Okay. So, but I wouldn't mind taking the opportunity. Somebody mentioned or asked to hear what we're taking away, and I'll just give you my impressions from tonight. It's been great being here. Good input. Working for DNR is not a very easy thing to do. We've got, and I've been doing it for 25 years, we've got 105 million acres of land that we're supposed to use and manage. We're supposed to provide an economy for Alaskans. We're supposed to protect, make sure the fish and the resources are protected. It's a big balancing act, but we do need to make sure we have an economy in the state, and that's part of the reason that we have the land entitlement. So we work very hard to try and provide a living for Alaskans and protect those resources. It's a balancing act. And to the extent that I'm listening to the testimony, there's no way that anyone in DNR thinks we should give corporate interests the benefit over individual Alaskans. Okay? And if there are things in this bill that lead you to believe that, well, I'm sorry, and maybe we need to be working on it, but again, whether a company is from out of state or in state or how big the company is, it's all about jobs for Alaskans and our economy. I want my daughter, who's about ready to graduate from UAA, to be able to stay in Alaska, to get a job here, and raise kids here so she doesn't leave. I think a lot of you probably feel that same way. So again, it's a tough balancing act. We've heard a lot of really good input here tonight. I'm going to take it all back. I'm going to bring the governor on it. We're going to bring Commissioner Balanch on it. We'll bring it back, and we'll work with the Alaska State Legislature next session to see where we go with this. And I really thank you all for taking the time to come here tonight.
Mr. Ruffner, does your microphone still work?
I think so. Well, I guess what I would take away from another is maybe some hope here. And the hope that I would have is that, you know, as you go back into session, this thing starts over, the continuum I see of where we are is that we need a couple of votes on the Senate to make House Bill 77 pass. So that's one end of the continuum, is that the administration could push forward and try to get those two votes and get this thing through. The other end of this continuum is to pull the thing back entirely. Somebody talked about looking forward and looking backwards. Look backwards at the public involvement that went into this bill that get crafted to where it is right now. And hear what you heard tonight from the public. And then try to do a better job of public involvement to recraft something that makes more sense. Because I think a lot of people do agree with some of the issues that DNR faces in trying to be more efficient in your permitting, better use of our taxpayer money. We want to see those things. But we don't want to see them sold out to the degree that they were in what we see in writing right now. So my hope is that we're closer to that latter on my continuum than the former. So that's what I would hope that you take back to your commissioner. Thanks a lot for being here.
That's pretty clear. Okay. Well, if I could, I just want to express my appreciation to the people that came and testified. I know it's difficult to sit through a long meeting and take away time from work and family and other obligations, but it's very important that you do that. And I think for our purposes, it's very helpful to hear your input. Everybody had a little bit different take on things, but there were definitely some central themes that emerged from tonight's meeting. And I think that's what we can really take back. And when we collate this and provide a summary of this meeting, that's what's really, I think, going to emerge and jump out at us. There was a great turnout tonight. There was a lot of people who took that time away and decided to come. And I think that tells us something as well, when you have that kind of a turnout at a public meeting. I think that sends a message too, just as much as what was said by the people who took the time to come. So that's what we're going to take back, and that's what we're going to work on. And you know, there has been a process that's gone into this so far, and there's a process ahead of us as well. So please remember that you're going to have a great senator here who cares very much about what his constituents think and feel about every piece of legislation that passes over his desk. So you're very fortunate in that way.
I do want to say one thing before we close. I didn't have a chance, but I should. I want to thank Senator Manchiki for this opportunity, too. He's been really wonderful to work with in the legislature. And, just been a pleasure doing that. I'm glad you're lucky to have him. Senator, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Your pieces will be delivered in the morning. Before we close here, is there anyone here that wanted to be heard that wasn't?
Can we send written comments to you?
Yes. We will forward them on in a packet or one file. We'll be sending, collecting these names, Doug, and we'll have a recording that we forward on as well. Okay, I didn't see any hands being raised. You know, so aside from being honored to be your senator, I'm a commercial fisherman, sport fisherman, and I moved to Alaska because of what it has to offer. And I don't take a side on those two things. You know, I quickly lose patience for those that do. The reality of it is that salmon is extremely important to us culturally, socially, and economically. That's why these folks are here. I'm thrilled to have the turnout that we have, and I very much appreciate you spending 3 hours of your evening with us. Those that want to take the drive tomorrow will be in Homer at 4, and you can hopefully, there may be people with ukuleles. But I do want to thank you all. So if you can please join me to give the Commissioner, Cor Campbell, Deputy Commissioner Ed Fogles, David, Esther, Randy, the folks that were all here. They didn't have to be here, and they are. So please give them a big hand. And thank you.
I'm not driving back.
No, I mean,
We're going to spend the night here.
Yeah.
Got a few things to do here tomorrow morning. And, head down there tomorrow.
I really care. That was one of those things that most.